Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Well, I promise you I won't preach the everlasting gospel tonight. And I'll try and shorten down because time has slipped away, but it's been exciting and well worthwhile. Praise God. So beautiful to see people going through the waters of baptism. I hope you do as I do and pray for each one of them that it will be meaningful and that the Spirit of God might come upon them in a new way. I want to talk to you tonight in another in our series on the summit or reaching the summit. Being a champion, and tonight our subject is never accept defeat. In Romans 8 and verse 37, I wonder, Terry, could you take out some of that bass for me, please? In Romans 8 and verse 37, it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Let's pray together. Our Father, we who are Christians should live victorious lives. I pray that you help us tonight, Lord, as we look at your word, that you might encourage us and give us understanding that we might possess more fully, learn to appropriate still further the victory that you desire for each one of us in this sanctuary tonight. So we commit this time to your anointing to be in the hearts of everyone here tonight, that we might comprehend, and comprehending, that we might act, O Father. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if you are a person who has thoughts of defeat, person who thinks at times that you are suffering setbacks, sort of person who believes that you're losing in your battle with life, then I want to urge you tonight to deal with your thoughts. Psalm 23 and verse 7, don't turn it up, says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The Bible says, God says, that as you think, so you will be. Now that doesn't mean a casual thought, an odd thought. That means consistent thought. Whatever your consistent thought pattern is, that's what you are going to be. And that's a very serious thing to contemplate. In short, if you continue to think defeat, you can be certain that you will know it. Napoleon said, "He who fears being conquered is sure of defeat." And there's a true story of Lord Nelson, who certainly didn't think defeat. In one of his naval battles in the Mediterranean, he nailed 5 British flags to the mast, so that if one was shot down, there were 4 left. If another was shot down, there were 3 left. And he was determined that the Royal Ensign was going to be flying whilst that battle was on. Just a matter of your thinking, just a matter of what one's attitude is. But if you, in your life, refuse defeat, despite the discouragements, despite the circumstances and situations which have come upon every one of us in this life, because of your Christian inheritance, you need never experience defeat again. Now, what do I mean when I say because of your Christian inheritance? I mean this, that you are a son or a daughter of God. You are filled with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. You have guardian angels about you. And you have a God who is with you to help you every hour, every day, every week, every month of your life. And that's why the text says, in all these things, in all of your circumstances, in all of your problems and your difficulties, we are more than conquerors. Not that your circumstances are going to disappear. Not that God is going to wash away from you the problems and tensions and pressures that will beset you at different times in your life. There's no promise in the Word of God that they will be washed away. But that in the midst of them, you can learn to be an overcomer. You can learn by changing your thought pattern, by changing your attitudes, to be victorious even in the midst of those problems, so that instead of them overflowing you and drowning you, you find you're able to get on top of them and to be victorious over those situations. I want to share three keys with you tonight. Keys for any Christian here who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is walking in obedience to his word. They're very simple keys, but they're genuine ones. Number one, stop being an obstacle man or woman. Now, I wonder if this is you tonight. I don't want you to tell me, but I want you to think about it as I'm talking. Are you an obstacle person? Always thinking of the obstacles, always thinking of the possible difficulties in every situation, always thinking of the likely hindrances in everything that you're going to undertake. You worry about things. You are concerned about past failures. Every new step you're about to take seems as if it's full of impossibilities. And you tend to go backwards and stop and not take that step because of these difficulties I'm talking about. Now, some of you here tonight will relate to what I am talking about. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read from the Amplified, so you need not turn this up if you don't wish to. Philippians 4 and verse 13 is beautiful, both in the King James and the Amplified. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. What a tremendous verse that verse is. You see, everybody has these obstacles I'm talking about. Not one of us here either hasn't got them or certainly won't escape them. But despite the fact that we all have these obstacles, we need to realize that they can be the dealings of God. Or if they're not the dealings of God, then they can be the temptations and the deceits of the wicked one and of his dark kingdom. And they're there to overcome. And God has given you the means to overcome. And so the key, beloved, is the fact that the problem isn't the obstacle, but your attitude to that problem is so often where the obstacle is. Let me say it again. That circumstance, that situation, that difficulty, that pressure, that tension, that is not the obstacle. The obstacle is your personal attitude toward that situation. I remember, as an illustration, in the Middle East in the Second World War. We first went over there. Mr. Churchill said to the Commander-in-Chief Middle East, General Wavell, The people at home need an attack, need some success in the desert. Everywhere else there'd been disaster. And he said, attack. And General Wavell said, well, give us some airplanes, some tanks, some artillery, some decent equipment. We'll attack. Now, I'm making the story a little shorter. So Mr. Churchill sacked him and put another general in, General Auchinleck. And he said, now, the people at home need some success. Go and attack the Germans. And Auchinleck said, we will if you give us something to attack with. We've got no planes, we've got no tanks, we've got no heavy artillery, we've got no anti-aircraft guns, no anti-tank guns. Give us the equipment, our men will fight. So Mr. Churchill sacked him and put another commander-in-chief in, General Alexander. He said, now go and attack. And General Alexander said, yes, sir. So he called to General Blamey, Field Marshal Blamey finally. But General Blamey then, the commander-in-chief of the Australian forces, which at that stage was just the 6th Australian Division in the desert, and he said to General Blamey, I know you can't attack Bardia, the fortress. It had 40,000 men in it, strongly armed. But he said, go and make a feint towards it and have a skirmish and then withdraw. Make sure you don't have serious casualties, and maybe that will satisfy Mr. Churchill. He didn't know General Blamey. So we attacked Bardia, and we took Bardia. And I don't want to go into that story. But Mr. Churchill got his victory. But you see, there were three generals in charge of the Middle East. And they all had the same men and the same equipment and the same problems. And two of them said, we can't. And one of them said, yes, sir, and did it. With exactly the same circumstances. What was the difference? The difference was their thinking. The difference was their attitude. The difference wasn't the problem. The difference was their attitude to the problem, how they handled the problem. And beloved, that's true of your life and of my life. I was going to read the story of David and Goliath tonight in 1 Samuel 17, but I'm not going to because we haven't got time. But most of you know the story of how young David went out with a sling and 5 stones against Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, a man armed with the best armor of that day, with a great spear and a great shield and clothed in the armor of that day, a giant of something like 9 feet high. And young David, who was untrained in warfare, went out against him because Saul, King Saul, and his whole army were fearful to go and attack this giant. A disgusting and incredible situation. But even the king wouldn't go out when his men wouldn't go. So David's attitude is tremendous in this story. It is a very exciting story to read and to meditate upon because there's so many truths in it. But David's attitude was right from the very beginning. From the moment he saw that Philistine, as he came down into the army to bring his older brothers some cheese, which his father had sent him down to deliver to them, the moment he saw them, he said, what will be done to this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the army of the living God? That was his first reaction. Tremendous reaction. Something stirred up in David. And David finally attacked Goliath, cutting the story very short. And he attacked Goliath in an impossible situation. How many of you are in impossible situations tonight? Many of you, no doubt. And he attacked in an impossible situation. He was a young man, and he attacked a giant. He was just in a shepherd's cloak with a sling, and the giant was in armor with a great shield and a great staff and spear. The situation was absolutely impossible from a natural point of view. But David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He didn't say, I come to you with a sling and 5 stones. If he'd said that, he'd have been fairly discouraged. But he didn't. He didn't look at it that way. Because David thought that there were no obstacles there that were greater than his God. And in the power of his God, he went into action. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, beloved, if only on Monday morning we could live according to that scripture. Right here on Sunday, when we're singing choruses and all feeling good and all together and the Spirit of the Lord is flowing and it's wonderful. And finally on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that scripture could be meaningful to us and we could begin to live in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what God intended. But for some strange reason, because as Pastor Nelson said this afternoon, because of our slothfulness, because of our carelessness, because we're so rich and wealthy in this country, because the pressures are only minimal pressures compared with the pressures that most of the world have, because most of the world are hungry, huge numbers are starving, they're in the midst of disease and sickness and tyranny and cruelty by overlords. We are so comfortable in this nation that we lay back, as Pastor said this afternoon. We're careless. We don't stir ourselves up so that when tragedy comes upon us, we're not ready for it. But if only we could take these scriptures, take them out there tomorrow morning, take the fact that we are sons and daughters of the living God out into that world and act and live as if we were. Instead of it just being something we hear about on a Sunday, nod our heads, sing a few songs and go home, and don't live it out. What a tragedy. So I want to ask you tonight to start thinking and acting as a Christian. Start attacking these circumstances instead of letting them attack you. Start walking and living with your God. Start acting your faith in Christ. You've got it there. Loose it. Begin to act it. Bring that faith into your daily circumstances. Begin ministering your faith out into those circumstances. So whatever's happening to you, you bring the Lord Jesus into it. You bring the Holy Spirit into it. You bring the Word of God into it. You begin to act as what you are, a son or a daughter of the living God, applying this word in your every situation. Stop being afraid of obstacles. Stop being afraid of difficulties and impossible situations. If you stand up to them, if you stand up to them in the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and don't give way, that difficulty, that obstacle will finally collapse. So I want to say to you, I believe there's no difficulty you cannot overcome. Stop being an obstacle man or woman. Secondly, second key, learn to stand. Now that you're no longer an obstacle man, now that your attitude's changed to obstacles, you've got to learn to stand. I'm going to read Ephesians 6 in the Amplified, verse 13 and 14. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore. Hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. Oh, beloved, if we'd only stand for longer periods. I'm going to cut out a lot of the illustrations, and the Lord will fill them in your hearts. I believe if you will determine tonight to stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God that He has given us, then faith, which you've all got, will supply that staying power when everything goes wrong. You know, sometimes when you stand, something's happening in your life and you say, all right, this is time for me to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in the Word of God. I'm going to stand in the name of the living Christ. And you stand and everything collapses around you. It gets worse. But that's normal. That's not abnormal. That's not an unusual situation. If only when everything starts to get worse, you start using your faith, because faith will supply that power you need to endure until the thing begins to collapse. The problem begins to collapse around about you. Either you're going to collapse or it's going to collapse. It's your choice. When discouragement swirls around you, and it can swirl around us, can't it? When circumstances look impossible, then step out of that sense realm and step into the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of His Word. We spoke about this many months ago. We talked about stepping out into the fourth dimension. That dimension, because we are third dimension people, but there is a fourth dimension. There is a dimension of faith I'm trying to talk to you about tonight. And if you step out into that dimension, then suddenly you'll find you're in a realm where the Word of God takes effect, where the Word of God begins to work, where the Word of God begins to permeate you and suffuse you and changes you into the sort of person that this Word says you really are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference between sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. Different dimension. But our senses say no. The circumstance is obvious. You can see it with your own eyes. It's not possible. And in the sense realm, the Word of God really is possible. It's in that fourth dimension. It's in the revelation realm that the Word of God becomes possible. Remember, your senses are easily proven to be liars and deceivers. But if you stand, and if you keep feeding the Word of God to your faith and to your senses, do you know what happens? Your senses finally will conform to the Word of God. If you stand long enough and feed that Word in long enough. And this is your part. This is your battle. So many of us, we start, we listen to messages like this, we start, but within a few hours at the best, or within a few days, we give up. It doesn't work for us, we say. And we give up. We haven't really had a battle at all. Now you've got to learn some scriptures off by heart. These are the sort of scriptures you need to know, or have them written down on a card. Matthew 8 and verse 17. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You don't have to carry your sicknesses. Christ bore them for you. If you are walking obediently to the Lord Jesus Christ, your sicknesses belong on that cross. Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Luke 10:19. Behold, Jesus said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, talking of demons, and over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. Luke 18:27. Things that are impossible with men are possible with who? God. Things that are impossible with men in that third dimension realm are possible with the Holy Spirit out in the fourth dimension. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. These are the promises of God, beloved. Romans 8:2. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. What tremendous scriptures. There's plenty more of them. These are the things that God says to us, that you should be applying every hour, every day in your personal life. Or do you wait for pastor to stand up on Sunday and do nothing about it Monday to Saturday? We can't fight your battle for you. It's your battle. We can encourage you. We can stand with you. We can teach you these truths. But it's your battle. You're the one that has to strip off the old. You're the one that has to put on the new. Nobody else. If you persevere and stand, you know what will happen? And I said, and stand, your senses will begin to send back the same message that there is no obstacle, there is no circumstance, there's no pressure, there's no difficulty that you can't overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get your senses sending that message back to you, instead of sending back the message, it's not possible, it can't be done, then you're beginning to get out into that fourth dimension where victory lies. You won't get rid of your problems necessarily, but you can overcome them and be free of their torment. And this is the victory of revelation knowledge over sense knowledge, a knowledge which your senses give you. This is the triumph of the truth over a truth. Oh, I feel I'm coming down with the flu. Well, that can be a truth. But what's the truth? The truth is he bare that sickness on the cross and you don't have to have it. And many of you can testify that you felt the flu coming on you and you've stood against it and you've stood again and you've felt it creep into your throat and the thickness in your head and you've said, I refuse it. I strip it from me. I receive the healing virtue of the living Christ. Wife, come and pray for me. Lay your hands upon me. Break this thing from me as I receive his healing virtue. And we've broken it off. If I asked for a show of hands, I'd have dozens. It's there. The difference of the truth and a truth. And we live in a truth all the time. We say, this impossible situation's come upon me, and it's the truth. But it's not the truth. Because it isn't impossible. There's nothing impossible in Christ. Please understand that most of a problem is in your mind. Please believe that's true, because it is. And tonight, regardless of your situation, you have weapons and means for a victory. You can stand because Christ has given you the means by which to stand. The indwelling Spirit, the Word of God, the promises of God, quickening of his life within your life. Thirdly, the last step, the last key. Having put those first two keys, no longer an obstacle man, standing in the truth of the Word of God. Lastly, then, eliminate the negative. Now, this becomes a very essential discipline. to eliminate the negative from your life, from your attitudes, from your thoughts, from your speech. If you listen to our speech, you'll find we're full of negatives. As I said a moment ago, I feel I'm getting the flu. That's negative. Why don't you say, I feel I'm getting better? And do something about getting better. I don't think I could do that. You know, I always mess things up. Real good, positive statement. I've heard it many a time. 2 meetings a day, I get so tired. Never get tired of looking at 2 television programs. So it's strange. Bet it rains next Saturday and the footy final's on. It always rains in show day, we know that. See, we're full of negative statements. Don't ask me. I don't know anything like that. I didn't have a proper education. I don't know much, you know. Negative. Johnny, be careful going to school now, crossing the road. Don't get run over. Sends him out the house feeling real good. Real confident. See, these negative things just clutter up our talk all the time because the fall has made humanity negative. And we've got to break out of it. We should be out of the fall, but we're not. Let's get rid of negatives. Let's replace our thoughts with the positive word of God. I read you some of it. Let's realize if you get God's positive word and positive laws working in you instead of the negative ones, then as a result, you will finally get positive reactions. As a man thinks, so is he, God says. It's up to you. Feed this into yourself. Feed the truth into yourself, and you'll start acting it out. Finally, if you will stand, but not if you give up. I guess the greatest factor in any undertaking is one's belief in it. Like Abraham, we haven't time to talk about it, but Hebrews tells us how Abraham set out, didn't know where he was going, looking for a city. God said, go to the city, I'll show you the way. He died without finding it. He didn't have the New Testament. We know where that city is now. It's called New Jerusalem. He's going to find it one day. He'll find it at the same time as we do. He set out in faith to find a city. The greatest factor in any undertaking is one's belief in it. And he had belief that that city existed, even though he never found it in his lifetime. So I'm saying very simple things tonight. I'm saying get your mind, get your thoughts, get your confession right. Because it touches your whole destiny, touches your whole life's pattern. So you should never be defeated. If you just put those 3 simple keys into operation in your life, and I don't know how many of this series we've done now, there must be 15 or more of them. How many? 12 of them. Is this 13? This is 12. All right, we've had 12 of them. They've all been basically simple, as this one is simple. 3 simple keys. Don't be an obstacle man. Stand fast in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And eliminate the negative in favor of the positive Word of God. So there's no need for sickness to destroy you when there is healing to lift you up. There's no need for depression to distract you when there's joy available to bring you peace. There's no need for lusts to control you when there is release from their bondage. There's no need for habits to discourage you when there is cleansing available from their torment. There's no need for relationships to be broken because of resentment, bitterness, jealousy, and hard-heartedness. When there is restoration of unity in the Holy Spirit, there's no need for fear to terrorize your life. When there is confidence in the Word of God to bring you assurance, there's no need for torments to torture you, as torments torture so many Christians, when there is deliverance available from them. There's no need for worry to oppress you when you learn to cast your cares upon Him, because He said, "I care for you." There's no need for defeat to touch any one of you again when you are walking in His victory, which is available to you, as I've explained tonight. Friends, I just want in my heart to ask you to make a commitment to begin practicing positive thoughts. Doesn't that seem a simple thing to ask a congregation? That when you step out of here and in a few hours' time go into a new week, all I'm asking you to do is to start developing positive thoughts instead of negative ones. And I believe that you can develop any mental attitude or habit if you are convinced that it will lead you into success. And what I'm talking tonight will lead you into success and happiness and fulfillment in life. Then if you will apply yourself to that new direction that I'm suggesting to you, and hang in and stick with it and never give up, then you can know victory. Because that obstacle, that difficulty, will finally crumble. Not that it will disappear, but its power over you will crumble. You'll rise up on top of it and begin to come in control of your life and of your circumstances. You can walk from here tonight if you want to, determined that in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of this word and His victory over negative forces, you are going to live victoriously. Changing negative attitudes to positive attitudes. Changing negative speech to positive speech. And living in the revelation knowledge of what God says and not what your sense knowledge says.